Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, this is Lori, and I am flying solo today, but I want to welcome you to a yet another special episode of Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. I know over the years, because we have that many episodes now, that you guys have heard me talk about our family and our children and back, and I meant to look and see what episode Emily was on, but we interviewed my stepdaughter Emily a while back when we were doing the Living With series, and she talked to us about, you know, kind of being in high school and her life with ADHD. I know you've heard me talk about my son who has ADHD and my husband who has ADHD. So guess what? We got child number 4 here with us today. And this one's really cool because Sydney actually works with us. So Sydney, thank you for coming in and hanging out with me today.
Hello. I'm just so excited to be here with the Lori from the podcast.
Well, and your stepmom.
And my stepmom, yeah. Exactly. It's a 2-in-1.
You kind of have to say that.
Exactly.
So I think what I thought would be kind of cool. So first, you know, you started working with us. Was it 2021?
April of 21.
Okay. Right after COVID or right in the midst of it. And you moved here. You moved here from South Carolina to Texas.
Correct.
And did we know you had ADHD then?
So you had tested me when I was still in high school. I think I was 17, so it would have been my senior year.
Okay.
And I flew to Texas to visit you guys over the summer. And essentially, you and Dad sat down and you said, hey, we think you have ADHD. We're going to do this testing. And we're positive you have it. But, you know, it's a formality. And so I sat with you and I don't even remember. It was so freaking boring. We did it in your living room. And yeah. And, you know, after that, you came back and told me, you know, I have ADHD. It was a shock. I had no idea what it even was. You know, I just assumed that it was the boys that run around and can't stop talking.
So what did you do with that information after you went back home?
So after I went back home, unfortunately, we didn't really do much with it. You know, I graduated. I didn't have any accommodations. I really didn't think anything of it. Me and my mom really weren't that educated about ADHD. So I really didn't get that information until after I graduated and went into college. And really, really struggled with my college courses. They were kind of like pre-med, and it was just so hard. I couldn't do it. And I was like, I can't sit here and read this book and memorize these medical terms. How am I going to get through college? And so then that's when I kind of backpedaled and said, okay, let's take this back a step. You know, the ADHD clearly is very, very strong. It's impacting me in ways that I really didn't understand. My mental health, that was the biggest thing for me, was how low it had me, just thinking that, you know, I would never be able to accomplish this, you know, even just school, which, you know, everyone goes to school. But yeah, it really took me a few years after I was diagnosed to actually accept it and learn how it impacted me and why I was struggling to clean up my clothes off the floor.
I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you moved to Texas, our goal was to have you help us with like social media and some of our marketing and outreach. But as everybody that gets to come to the office and work, one of the main jobs is answering the phones.
Absolutely.
And so over the past 3.5 years, you have taken a plethora of phone calls from a variety of parents and clients. And so I'm curious, you know, you hadn't done a whole lot of research on ADHD. You understood kind of, yes, it's why I can't get
very
crap done. But what do you feel like you have learned over the years?
I mean, I can't even begin to start. I think mostly for me, it has just been this shift in understanding how I operate and how my brain works. You know, something that you guys always say on your podcast is give yourself grace. And that's probably the biggest thing that I've done is, you know, understanding that I am someone that really struggles with like transitions and being able to hype myself up to start tasks. And so knowing that now as an adult, I can sit there and say, hey, you know, I've got four things on my to-do list. I know that I'm going to struggle to shift gears in and out of them. So I need to give myself some extra time to maybe, you know, sit on my phone for 5 minutes in between task shifting. So that way it's not this massive, like, oh, I have to do this in order to get this. That was something else that I've found really interesting is, you know, growing up, I think we've all kind of developed this idea that, you know, we have to do something that we don't want in order to get what we want. And so understanding that, you know, not everything is an unmanageable task or an annoying task that I have to do has really shifted how I see things. You know, coming to work and working a 9-to-5. When I first started, that was completely like that freaked me out.
Right. Like, how am I gonna manage that?
Yeah, how am I gonna sit at a desk for, you know, 8 hours a day? But, you know, giving myself grace and giving myself a manageable list of goals that I realistically can do today. You know, I have 4 emails I need to respond to. I have, you know, 2 podcast episodes I need to update. And instead of just weighing myself down with all the things I need to do throughout the week, taking it piece by piece, you
baby
know,
steps.
Baby steps, that is the biggest thing.
I think that what you said, being realistic, I think that is huge, because I think that's what a lot of us do, is that we try to take on a million things.
Absolutely.
And then we're shocked when we can't, or so disappointed in ourselves when we can't
complete
that.
And that's something big for us is, you know, we make task lists, we make goal lists. And so when we're in that mindset, we get everything out on paper. It's everything for the next, you know, month that we can possibly think of. And so looking at that, no wonder all of us get, you know, so like burnt out is, you know, you're looking at 25 different tasks that aren't realistic for you to complete in 3 days.
So what's it been like getting to work with your dad, who is the source of your ADHD?
It has been, you know, working with family is always interesting. I really enjoy it. He operates very differently than I do. He is a very, you know, he's the ideas guy. He is the one that's going to come up with really cool and inventive new ways to do things. And it really pairs well with my brain because I am someone that loves to sit down and just create. So he'll be like, Sid, you know, I have an idea for a new marketing poster. And he'll give me, you know, 4 different ideas. And I can just sit down and create whatever my brain comes up with.
He's the idea guy. You're kind of the task girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I have no problem with that because being able to be given something within very specific parameters, you know, I'm very logic oriented. So as long as I understand why something needs to be done that specific way, I'm all in. But I have noticed in, you know, being given tasks, if I don't understand why something needs to be done in that specific way, or if I don't understand why it needs to be done in general, my first, you know, inclination is anger. And for a long time, that really upset me because I'm like, why am I getting so upset over being able to, you know, being asked to do something? You know, pulls me back into my childhood with my mom and our constant battles of, why is this plate sitting on your table? Why are these clothes here?
Why is it bothering you?
Yeah. And I'm like, why does it bother you? It's my room. So it's, you know, learning how I can process information and how I can better get along with my peers rather than just being frustrated and not understanding.
It reminds me of when I was in high school and I was so angry about algebra. I'm like, this is so stupid. I am never going to use this. And there was nothing anyone could have convinced me to believe that I needed that class. And I get it now, but then no way. So I get that. So, so there are times when there are ideas that come at you that are unclear or you can't figure out why they have to be so specific. But I think that's helped you understand, too, how differently people with ADHD, like no two people are the same.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has been very interesting because, you know, in my mind, what I'm working on this particular task might make perfect sense to me. You know, I put this here, put this there, and then, you know, hand it off to someone else to look at, and they might look at it and be like, what is this, Sydney? Like, what am I doing? What are you asking me to do something? And I'm like, well, duh, like I could do it. So, but yeah, I mean, that's just helped me infinitely in talking with parents on the phone and with college students and, you know, being able to offer someone support that they might not have gotten elsewhere, giving them insight into, you know, how their brain works. I talked to a parent the other day, and her child had just been diagnosed with ADHD through somebody else. And she called and she's like, I don't want to schedule testing. I just want to ask you some questions. And she's like, I just need to know, like, how ADHD works. Like, why is my student doing this? Like, I have asked him 10 times to pick up these clothes and he just won't do it. And he'll go play video games. And so being able to confidently explain to someone, you know, how everyone's brain is different, you know, why medication might work better for some people. And, you know, your receptors and, you know, how all the medical things work. Because I love that. I'm such a nerd for that kind of stuff, too. So.
Well, but you've also seen the benefits of medication, right?
Oh, my God, yes. It's crazy. Yeah, I would never be in the place where I'm at in my life right now, like a functional adult human being without medication. And that's sad as a 25-year-old to say.
It's not,
but,
though.
You know, I... even just being able to focus on one thing at a time instead of, you know, driving the crazy train through my 15 different points of thought, even just that small piece of it was like night and day. But yeah, I am a huge advocate for medicine. I always will be. And that's even better, is I get to talk to parents who might not be. And,
right.
You know, getting to sit down and say, you know, I understand you might have been told this by someone you trust. However, this is the reality. And, you know, while it might not seem the best in your mind, you know, here's some information.
Right.
You know, here's
some firsthand experience.
Exactly. You don't even have to do a stimulant. You got non-stimulants and just so much information in my brain that I'm able to give to people that feels so good.
Right.
I think another piece of ADHD is that we all feel this need to do something important with our lives. Like, we feel that we have to be doing something. And if it's, you know, boring or, you know, if it's not helping anyone, we feel crappy about it. So putting myself in a place where I can help, you know, advocate for people, help them learn why they're different, why their brain works differently, and why they're not going to be a failure in life. I mean, that it is the best thing in the world. Like, being able to go home at night and being like, I talked a woman out of tears earlier and helping her understand, you know, a simple thing like accommodations.
Right.
It is so, what's the word I'm looking for?
Rewarding.
It is so rewarding. And for someone that has grown up thinking that, you know, I need to have a big goal, I need to do something important with my life. You know, I don't want to just work in a restaurant and serve tables for the rest of my life. So this was a really good switch into kind of boring, mindless work into, you know, my life's mission now.
Right, right.
Being able to
Who knew that, like, the things that you struggled with all of your life, I mean, that's how I feel,
exactly.
Too. Like, who knew the things that made my parents absolutely crazy about me
is now my career.
Like, my career, yeah.
Yeah. I just love it so much, you know, especially with the podcast. It's just such a good source of information that's just not accessible anywhere. I mean, you can Google it. What are some 5 ADHD symptoms? You'll get a blog post. But having a podcast like this where you guys have people from every walk of life, you know, lawyers, teachers, parents, you know, 16-year-old kids in high school that tell you about their experiences. It's so important, and it's just great. I mean,
I think what's been interesting too in having a family full of ADHD is that I think we all have really understood how different each of us are and how important it is to find those things that motivate you.
Absolutely.
You know, like with your sister, I was just having a conversation. She's working on her college applications. And I'm like, you know, Em, why don't you want to get these done? When I was in high school, I wanted to know where I was going so I could be done.
Get out.
I'm like, I just want to coast through this year. And that's what motivated me. Totally doesn't motivate her.
Absolutely.
And I can't wrap my brain around that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I get that something else is going to motivate her, and just understanding those dynamics. And that when we have parents that call and say, but I already have a child with ADHD and this child's completely different. Well, yeah, I mean, they still can have it. They're just not going to present the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really important piece, I think, you know, in helping with family dynamics is, you know, we talk to parents every day who are, you know, non-neurodivergent. They will never understand what it's like to have ADHD or to be an individual with ADHD. So, you know, having you guys, you know, Lori and Abby and all of our directors, explaining to people in a way that they understand rather than being, you know, oh, they're going to be hyperactive. They might not want to focus. But for you guys to flip that and, you know, make it very personal or...
And positive.
Yes. Positivity is the biggest thing, because everyone just sees it as... You know, parents just complain, and it's a very negative thing in their mind. You know, the stigma kind of goes bone deep. I mean,
it's bad.
It is. So that is just, you know, helping the family dynamics in that way. And, you know, having some grace with your kids when, you know, they might not do the thing you asked the first two times.
Well, and I think you're a perfect example of when you, I tell every parent, you know, yes, they may be failing math. they may hate algebra. But when they find that thing they're passionate about, they're going to be crazy good at it.
Yes.
And that's the ADHD gift.
Absolutely.
Once you find that thing you're passionate about and you can plug into that, you're going to go. You can go as far as you want.
Absolutely. I mean, really, like, the sky is the limit. When you have ADHD, I mean, really, like, you find something you enjoy and there's no end. I mean, you can spend weeks, years, days on end just, like, digging into that one topic.
You're going to be good at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting on kind of a side note, you know, we have a blog post on the website about math and ADHD. And that was always my biggest problem in school was math. And I can vividly remember in making notes for this that when I was in second or third grade, they had a meeting with me and my mom and said, you know, she's gifted. We're going to put her in the gifted program. And I had moved schools after third grade into a new district. And from there, it just downhill. And it was right around the time I was doing my, you know, times tables, my division. So I kind of left that school year on a gap and never caught back up to those things. So my times tables, I can say as a 25-year-old woman, I don't know 75% of my times tables. I count on my fingers every day because I just didn't have the proper
instruction
because of the, you know, the moving around and the different schools having different
curriculums.
It is very interesting that, you know, it's pretty much everybody I talk to with ADHD, except for those rare few, you know, gifted people who just really excel in math.
Because they love math.
That's true. They like it. That's
they like
what it.
It
is.
It's black and white. I think that's the one thing we hear the most about the kids and the adults that like math that have ADHD. They like the black and whiteness of it.
That makes
There's
a lot
one
of
right
sense.
Answer. There's no fluff.
There's no guesswork.
There's no guessing.
God.
There's no trying to infer anything. It's just, it's black and white.
You know, maybe if I would have seen it as that when I was a kid, I would have loved it.
Me too.
The logical thinking of it, not having to guess.
No such
infer.
Luck.
Infer.
No such luck.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, I'm curious. What do you feel like, besides ADHD, since you've been here, what do you feel like some of the things that you've really learned about some of the other learning disabilities that you're like, are so confident in now in your knowledge?
So I would say, you know, dyslexia and visual processing issues. That was like the biggest kind of like, oh my God, for me when I was learning, because, you know, we still talk to parents and teachers every day that are like, my student is seeing their numbers backwards. They're floating on the page. I need dyslexia testing. And I'm like, stop. No, please. You're an educator.
We are trying to debunk
We're
that
trying.
Myth.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just being able to provide to the wealth of resources in the general public, you know, filling those gaps and, you know, trying to correct the myths that are still floating around. But, yeah, I mean, dyslexia and visual processing issue, I could talk about that all day. It's just so fascinating to me. And, you know, the first time that somebody ever asked me what visual processing was on the phone, I could not answer them. And I was mortified. I had to get somebody else. I think I had to get you. And so after that, you know, I was determined. I was like, I will never be put in that situation again where I cannot answer these questions. So then my ADHD brain, you know, I
Deep
sat
dive.
Down and read your DSM in your office, you know, not understanding half of it. But now I can explain, you know, some of the little intricacies of it in a way that might make sense for a parent, because I don't have a degree in that. I am not a vision specialist. I'm not a diagnostician. I don't even have a college degree. But I can explain to you why you're having this problem and why it's not dyslexia. And that is so
that.
Fun, you know, and
that.
It's a different level of, I don't want to say education, because you guys, you know all the fancy words and all the fluff, and So I can dumb it down for the parents.
Well, no, but I don't think you dumb it down, but I think you talk to them on a level that they understand.
There you go, a peer level. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so really quick, I'm curious, if there's one phone call or one client that has stood out to you over the last 3.5 years. I know you've had some good ones.
Oh, man, I could write a book. I seriously could.
Would take a lot of focus.
That would take a lot of focus. I think the one that stood out to me most, it's not necessarily a positive one, more stood out to me in terms of, like, I wish I could be doing more for people. I had this woman who is about 1.5 years ago. She called me and she was hysterical, sobbing, saying that her child was being taken away by CPS because she had dyslexia. And, you know, that sent off some red flags. And I said, okay, so tell me a little bit about more. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. So long story short, I come to find out that she had schizophrenia. And she was convinced that her doctors were trying to poison her and wasn't taking her meds. And when she was going back for her doctor checkups, they were like, you are not okay. Like, your meds, where are they?
Right.
She's like, you're trying to kill me. And was convinced that they were trying to harm her. However,
I do vaguely remember this.
Yes. And so she was also in a legal battle with trying to keep custody of her child. And, you know, she just kept telling me over and over again, you know, if I could fix my dyslexia, I could have my baby back. And that just gutted me, because I was like, you're not educated enough to know that or understand that this is not the problem. It didn't seem like anyone had taken the time
to really
explain it to her and what schizophrenia even meant for her.
And what dyslexia really is.
Exactly. You know, I said, well, that's your reading. You know, that's not gonna do much in the courts. And so, you know, being able to kind of level with her, kind of take her off the edge a little and be like, hey, you know, maybe we should go talk with our doctors. Maybe we should find a new doctor, you know, if you're not wanting to take their medication. So it's just my gentle parenting skills have come into full effect.
I feel like that's a little bit of counseling you were doing there. That's awesome.
It's so crazy, and I love it. I wouldn't change it. I mean, as much as it frustrates me sometimes having to talk to people, it's my favorite part of the job.
I love that. We've loved having you here, obviously, and it's been fun to see you kind of come into your own, but kind of become your own expert in some of these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you do take a lot of the phone calls, and so you're answering a lot of questions, mm-hmm. and you're hearing a lot of really sad stories, and a lot of great stories, a lot of success stories too. So I love that. And
it's always good to hear those, you know, when we get a call from a parent, you know, 6 months down the road, and they're like, they got approved for their accommodations, and we all just do a little cheer in the office.
Or they've made all this progress, and they started their medication, and
it's the best thing in the world. You know, we don't typically get to, you know, hear back from a lot of our clients, because, you know, they get their test results, they're on their way, and they're good. So, you know, be able to get that feedback from them, even if it's someone totally random, I'm like, yes, I don't know you, but yes.
And I love that you're able to use your own life. I think
that's so important.
Us with ADHD, we love being able to use our own life experiences to help change someone else's trajectory, right? Like, I don't want, and that's what my always thing has been about, I don't want, if I can keep another student from going through some of the struggles I went through,
absolutely,
then I'm so happy. I could not agree with you more that people with ADHD, and I've never thought about it like that, we want to help. Yeah. We want to be meaningful.
Absolutely.
My dad had a marketing company when I was in high school, and I always thought that might be something he wanted me to do. And I was like, there's no way I want to help people sell toilet paper, right? Like, Kimberly-Clark was a big, which no shade on them, but I just like, that's not where my
it's
heart's
not your
at.
Calling.
No, like, that, mm-hmm. no, I need to help people.
Yeah, especially, you know, especially people with ADHD that did grow up, you know, with some religious backgrounds. It's very, you know, telling that a lot of us do feel like, you know, we have higher callings, that we're meant for more. And that's a good quality to have with ADHD, because you can push yourself when you see that you're not living up to your full potential, but doing it in a positive way rather than a beat down. You're not doing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can do this. I just need more time. You know, I just need some more understanding,
right,
and then I'll get there. So it's an experience. You know, ADHD is crazy, and you know, there's so many different experiences that I've had, but, you know, overall, it is, as corny as it is, it's a superpower for us.
I totally
mean,
agree.
That's how we are able to connect with you know, your podcast listeners and the people that we serve in our business, because it's just another level of personalization. You know, we've been through these same things. We know how to help you. We know how to explain it to you. And that's what I love so much about our business model is, I mean, you're not going to see that anywhere else. I mean, if you go to another testing company, they're going to have, you know, 20 therapists and they're going to set you up with someone random. Whereas here, you know, we know all of our employees by name. We know, you know, is this a hyperactive kid with some anxiety? I know who you're going to work with.
Right.
So it's just
the right person.
Yes. It's just the right person living those shared experiences.
So looking back, if you could go back in time and erase the ADHD, would you erase it or would you keep it?
I would never. I love it. You know, my weird brain is what makes me me.
Yep.
And I think I would be bored to death if I didn't have these weird, like, brain hiccups and, you know, weird little hyperfixations. And,
yeah,
you know, I love it. It makes me unique in that sense, frustratingly so sometimes.
But it makes you good at what you do.
It does, absolutely. I would not be as good at what I do if I didn't have it.
Well, thank you for spending a few minutes with me today.
Well, thanks
so
for having me.
Normally, Abby gives us this spiel, but since you're the one who actually created our podcast and our podcast website, can you share the website for everybody?
Absolutely. So everybody, make sure to check out our podcast website. It is ltldpodcast.com. I did make that website, by the way.
She did.
Shameless self-promotion.
It's all her. She did awesome.
But yes.
So all of our episodes are on there. You can search for them.
You can choose by topic. We have all of our mini-series topics on there, or you can just sort by episode. Or if you've heard an episode and you really happen to like that specific guest we have, there is a full guest list with all of their information that you are welcome to reach out to them at any time.
If you guys have any questions or any suggestions for future episodes, let's talk learningdisabilities at gmail.com. Hope you guys have a great day. Thank you, Sydney.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.